Last week, I started talking to you on the subject between your seed time and your harvest. Between your seed time and your harvest. This is a month of fruitfulness, and I'm showing you and sharing with you the principles that can make you fruitful and enjoy abundance in life. These are principles I have applied. They have worked for me, and I believe that it will work for you. Say, I believe.
I believe.
Say, man of God, I believe.
Or
oh, say it like you believe it. Say, man of God,
man of God.
I believe.
I believe.
Say, my bishop,
my bishop.
I believe.
I believe.
Say, my prophetic voice,
my prophetic voice.
I believe.
I believe.
Say, the set man in my life,
in my life.
I believe.
I believe.
Fantastic. Amen. And the Lord says, my doctor. John 14 verse 24 says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of kernel falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. And if it dies, it produces much grain. I've said to you that every journey into fruitfulness begins with the planting of seeds. Okay, last week, I mentioned to you that in my personal life, so let's go to in my personal life, there are four seeds that I have sown in the past and continue to sow. So, any fruitfulness you see in my life that you appreciate, they are traceable to these seeds last week. The seed of time in all my life, I choose where I want to spend my time. I choose who I want to spend my time with. I choose how I want to spend my time. And I choose where I want to spend my time. I don't spend my time on anything that does not contribute to my purpose in life. That's why I'm here this morning preaching. This is my second service that I'm speaking at. That is my purpose in life, is to make sure that you make heaven. My purpose in life is to raise an army for the kingdom of God. My purpose in life is to make you a worker for God. Because if you work for God, God will work for you. Then number two, I have used my talent. I planted my talent as seed. I have three talents. Ability to speak, ability to write, and ability to think on my feet. I have developed it through education, and I have practiced it. And it has worked for me. The third talent is the third thing I did with my talent is tasking. I have the ability in my past to submit myself to work and to work well and hard. And then the final one I shared last week was tenacity. I have emotional strength. I've faced a lot of challenges in my life. But the Bible says that if you falter in times of trouble, then where is your strength? And I told you last week that there are two types of strength. The muscular strength and the mental strength. The muscular strength will forever make you a laborer. The mental strength will make you a leader. At some point in my life, I used my muscles. People will meet, make decisions, and send me on errands. It was all right because that was my level at the time. But most people don't graduate from the muscles level to the mental level. They remain forever at the muscles level. All the people that come around me, I make sure that you start with the muscle level, but you move into, let's say, recently one of the cleaners in my office just told me that they were sending names of people that we have to pay to our foreign partners that I have to pay money for. And they brought me a name of one of the cleaners in the office. He has joined our level 6 and has completed. And now I have to pay his money for him to get the certificate. So in addition to the scholarship, I have to pay a lot of pounds for him, a cleaner. Because you can't continue to use your muscles forever. At some point in your life, you must use your mind. You see, when people are around you, be conscious about developing them, because they will eventually become envious of you and undermine you. So I make sure when I'm lifting myself, I lift people with me. When the people around you become envious of you, it is more dangerous than having a venomous viper in your room. Do you understand? So I'm very, very conscious. I mean, I'm very conscious. The boy who sends me my house also just completed level six. And I'm paying for all of them. Level six is a first degree. Go to first degree. A professional qualification. I'm paying for all of them. Okay? Now, can I show you something? I want to move on. Now, between when I sowed these seeds, and when I saw my harvest, I went through something called the dormancy period. The dormancy period. I told you the story of how my brother started secondary school in Kumasi. We're then in Kumasi, Osentutu Secondary School. My big brother. He was my hero. And everything he told me, I believed it. So my big brother came from secondary school and wanted to prove to his friends that he's learning. During those days, agricultural science was a major subject. I think it was the Operation Feed Yourself season, you know. So he came to, I heard him telling his friends that when you plant things, you must have manure. And the best place to have manure for the things to grow fast is at where they dump refuse. The refuse you dump, they eventually go through some chemical reactions and then eventually becomes manure. And there was a refuse dump opposite our house. So the next day, I went to plant corn. And the following morning, I went to see whether the corn has come. I took it. When I went, I didn't see it. I said, oh, my brother lied to me. So I took it out to see whether it was still there. I took it out. It was there. So I planted it again and covered it. I said, tomorrow, this corn will come. I will have a party. The next day, I went back. It didn't come. And then I planted it again. When the third day, it hadn't come. It was only later on in my life that I realized that when you plant a seed, it goes through a dormancy period. First, the seed must go through a chemical reaction that allows the layers, the protection around it to break and have connection with the soil so that it can start germinating. But you see, most of you behave like the way I behaved when I was little. Not ready to wait for my dormancy period, not having the ability to understand why I have sown a seed and the seed was not bearing fruit the next day. So most of you know what you do. You plant the seed, you uproot it. You plant the seed, you uproot it. You plant the seed, you uproot it. And that is the reason why in all your life, you haven't had any fruit. In all your life, you have done so many things, but you have achieved nothing. You've done a lot of things, but you have achieved nothing. It is a strange thing for me, for anyone to think that you can harvest immediately you sow. There's a seed time and a harvest time. Now, I want to show you how I learned my lessons and how I managed my dormancy period. There are a lot of you here sitting here. You've been waiting to harvest. You've been waiting for your testimony. You've been waiting for your miracle. You've been waiting for results in life. I just want you to understand that you are in this prophetic season called the dormancy period. This dormancy period calls for a very strategic response. And I want to show you why and how. This is the reason why God has sent me here as a prophetic voice to deliver this message to you, is because God wants to. God, it is your season of harvest, but you are just about to spoil your harvest. So God sent me here to share with you and to speak with you and show you how to wait for your harvest. It's only a matter of time. If you have sown your seeds, it's only a matter of time that your harvest will come. Can I start with you? The first thing God showed me was that during your dormancy period, you have to be very patient. When I came to Sprinter's Road, I had already pastored for 10 years and studied in Europe. Yet I came to live in an uncompleted building and still believe in God for the fruit of my labor. And for five years on the Sprinter's Road, adding to the 10 years I carried forward, 15 years on the Sprinter's Road, and I could still not put food on the table for my wife and children. 15 years of pastoring, plus the earlier years when I got born again at the age of 14 and serving the Lord. If you add all to it, it's like I had served God consistently, sowed my seeds, I have prayed, I have fasted, and everything for almost 25 years. And yet, I had seen nothing. But the Lord taught me something. The Lord said, patience. The Lord said, life is like farming. Be patient, your time will come. I said, Lord, but look, somebody just sowed a seed and is bearing fruit. The Lord said, if somebody sows corn, it will come in 3 months. If somebody sows olive seed, it will come in 10 years. What have you sown? Your seed is different from that person's seed. The Lord showed me 3 things to do here. Let me read this. James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Wait patiently. Life is like farming. Wait patiently. Do you know why you are not able to wait? Number one, comparison. Once you start staring at other people's farms, if you don't take care, you will go and uproot your seeds and go and do similar farming like this. But don't forget that it is not every place you can plant some seeds. Every seed has its own place. Cassava or mangoes will grow in Dodoa. Mangoes will grow in Dodoa and pepper somewhere in Ghana. Why is Dodoa noted for mango? Their land is suitable for mangoes. So if you drive past Dodoa and you see that your friend planted mangoes and your friend's farm has a lot of mangoes and you start comparing yourself. I started my farming in Insawam before these people started. Maybe in Insawam, pineapple grows better. And then you go and take the mango seed from Dodoa and you go and plant it in Insawam. You'll be disappointed. Don't compare yourself to anybody. Can I tell you something? You are very unique. You have your own destiny. There is timing to it for you. All of us are not the same. Some people will marry as early as 20 years. Some people will marry as late as 30 years. All marriage be marriage. Do you understand? And sometimes you'll be amazed to see that a person who married at 20 years felt that the first 10 years of their marriage was a waste of time. And they started really making it in life later on in their lives. Mommy and I, we share our testimony of 30 years. But sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, some of the things we went through was because we married too early. The Teshi story was because we married too early. If I had waited a little, we would not have gone through Teshi. But just that we made lemonade out of lemons. Do you understand? So please, never ever in your life compare yourself to anybody. Have you ever compared yourself to somebody who is dead before? This is my friend. Only died at 30. Why am I 31? So you see why comparison is not good? Be in your lane. Believe in your destiny. Believe in God. Believe in yourself. That it's only a matter of time. If you truly know you have sown your seeds, it's only a matter of time. Do you know what comparison does? Now, comparison leads to competition. This way, now you are catching up, you are trying to catch up with people. The worst thing you can ever do to yourself is to allow everybody to be in front of you and try to catch up with them. You know, sometimes when you are called to run a 100-meter race and somebody is called to run a marathon, your speed is not the same. The most popular 100-meter, this thing, Usain Bolt. If he had tried to run a marathon, he would not have become the champion. If he had sat somewhere to look at the Ethiopians, to say that these Ethiopians are being celebrated everywhere, these Kenyans are being celebrated everywhere, then me too, I'm going to do marathon, he would not have been who he is. But he knew. You know, after running, he decided to try football. It didn't end well at all. Probably he wanted to be like Ronaldo. He wanted to be like Messi. It didn't end well at all. So please, don't compete with anybody. Be in your lane. Don't run with anybody. Be in your lane. And then just see. Run with yourself. Compete with yourself. If you want to get better than who you are today. Get better tomorrow than who you are today. Anytime you get up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, self, I was created to be a sign and a wonder. I am now a wonder. I am left with a sign. And I'm living out there. I'll go out and come back home. And I'll not come back home as a wonder alone. I'll come back home with a sign. I'll come back home with a sign. I sense in my spirit that you are at that level where God is about to do something amazing in your life. Where God is about to do something great in your life. Don't compete with anybody. If you choose to compete, compete with yourself. If you are not impressed with yourself, compete with time. But never compete with anybody. So be patient. Number two, what the Lord taught me during my dormancy period was that the Lord said, if you plant seeds, you need rain. He said, prayer opens the rain. Prayer opens the heavens. And I'll pour forth this thing upon you. So Mommy and I on the Sprinter's Road here, we are soon seeing. When I met Mommy, she has also done the lot for God. She has also done, she was watching for pastors in a village. She was leading praise and worship. She was the youth pastor, a youth leader in their church. She was the prayer warrior. The church I met Mommy, she was a member of the prayer warrior ministry. She was the youth executive, and she was a chorister. And then, now, this lady marries me, and we are going through struggles. And our siblings, who were not even born again, were questioning our lifestyle and why we have chosen to do God's work. But the Lord said to us, close your eyes in prayer. Don't look at them. We decided to pray. James 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. Hallelujah. When you pray, heaven gives rain. If you know how to pray, heaven gives rain. If you are not seeing the results you are looking for in life, I want to admonish you. I want to advise you. Commit yourself to prayer. It calls for prayer. When you devote your life and your time for prayer, you get results. We are a product of prayer. Last week, one of my Mr. was praying, and his brother took a video of him. And then he placed on a family platform and he said, in the Titi of Fair family, prayer is our love language. Prayer is our love language. Sometimes I come down from my top and I see Mommy has woken up my 15-year-old child and 50-year-old son and 14-year-old girl, and they're having devotions and they're sitting down like this and they're dozing and they're done. Mommy said, you will pray. Oh, do you know how we have prayed before we got here? And you'll make sure for that 1 hour of Bible studies and prayer, they will get it. It's a daily thing in our house. Our house is a place of prayer. And if you don't pray, you can't stay with us. When you get into, Kevin has moved out of the house now, though not too far. But anytime you are walking past Kevin's door, if he's inside, you will hear music playing loud and he's praying. Most of the times when I call him, the boy is praying. I can be talking to him around 3 a.m. and I'm saying, son, what are you doing? Why are you still awake? He says, daddy, I'm praying. Daddy, I'm praying. No wonder when it comes to lead worship, you feel the presence of God. We love prayer in our family and we are seeing the fruits. And we are seeing the fruits. We love prayer in our family and we are seeing the fruits of that prayer because heavens are opened upon us. I remember when I started the African Center for Leadership and Human Resource Development. There used to be a lady who used to worship with us in this church. And she was a consultant in a consulting firm. And they heard that our training programs had become big and hundreds of people every weekend came to study on our short courses. So they decided to introduce that. And the plan in their office was to compete with us. So they introduced short courses and people were not attending. People were not attending. And then this woman in our church, one day on her way to the office, decided to pass through the office. Then we had a small office in Community 18. They had to pass through my office. I didn't know what she came to do. Probably she was coming to spy or something. But she got to the office and we were having a devotion. And then she joined the devotion. And in the midst of the devotion, saw the prayer, the revelations, the intensity. Oh, so during those days, my staff used to come to church, to office without, they come in t-shirt. It is after our devotion before they go to dress. Because you will sweat. You will feel the presence of God. That was why we were able to buy all the properties Accra Business School uses today from just running training. Running training. Short courses. Running training. Short courses. And at the Saturday, the Friday before a program starts on a Saturday, we will bring the list of all those who are registered. And we will pray over them. We'll come and lay it on the altar in the church. And these boys will fast and pray. And will fast and pray. And the next day, on a Saturday, you will see crowd. We were not a university. We were not accredited. We were just short course training provider. And crowd. One day, I was coming to my office, my own office. I saw police officers in front of the office. I saw something has happened. I thought maybe armed robbers have come in. And then this police officer said, who are you, sir? I said, I'm Titi Ofei. This place belongs to me. Oh, sorry, sir, enter. I said, what is the problem? He said, oh, we came to carry your money. Then I entered the office. Then there was noise. I said, what is going on here? They said, oh, mommy said, oh, honey, sorry. We are oversubscribed, too much money. So we called Zenith Bank to come and pick their money. I said, why is the noise that they came with money counting machine? They are counting the money. I went to sit in my office and I remembered that I preached one day in church. And I said, I don't have money now. By the time it's going to come, where they will need money counting machine to count my money. And I said, at that time, mommy and I were living in an uncompleted building. And I said that one day when you hear the siren of the bullion van passing, it will be my money they are carrying. And that day, that's what happened. Zenith Bank came with a bullion van to pick my money, and they were going. They looked to heaven, and I said, Lord, prayer works. I'm going to always pray. Haven't you realized that Jesus said, if my word abides in you, and if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want, and it shall be given unto you. Do you know what that means? If we study his word, and now you preach the word in prayer, you talk to God by his word, God opens the heaven and pours a blessing upon you. Sometimes me and mommy's testimonies seems to be too good to be true. But that's what prayer does. That I come here to say we have been married for 30 years, and yet we are still like boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm still so much in love with mommy, having gotten familiar with her. We are so excited being together alone. If we see mommy is angry with me, she is angry with me because I have not been around her for some time. She can be very angry. She can even cry.
Well, let me here alone. And where are you? And me alone, I'm here.
And then I say to myself, share. You if you pan up or penny see. And yeah. Any empire boy is fine. Empire boy is fine. Empire boy is fine. Obianka say empire boy is fine. Because we are both prayer warriors. The heavens are opened upon us. Rain is consistently falling in our lives. Because they're falling on our marriage and on our children. I look at my children and then I understand when the Bible says that your children would be like olive shoots around your table. I say, Lord, thank you for my children. Thank you that these children have not brought me shame. They have not brought me problems. My house is a very enjoyable place. My family is a very enjoyable place to be. Come to find us cracking jokes, eating together. You see, we always want to be around each other. You know why? Prayer works. I say what? Prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. Now, number three, the Lord said you need protection. Matthew 13 verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed wheat among the wheat and went away. Whilst everyone was sleeping. See, a man went. The reason why you are not bearing fruit, even though you have sown a lot of seeds, is because you went to sleep. And someone came to sow something amongst your seeds. You have to stay awake. Your enemies are alive. They are looking for you. You cannot fight a 24-hour witch with a 30-minute prayer. A full-time witch. You cannot fight. No, witches are full-time. Demons are full-time. So you cannot be a part-time Christian and win this battle. You need divine protection. You need to pray consistently. You need to ask God to protect you, protect your children, protect everything around you, protect every seed you have sown. Some of us, you see, we find security in our money in the bank. We find security in some car we have bought. We find security in some house we have built. And then suddenly, we stop the prayer. Suddenly, we stop depending on God. Suddenly, we stop this thing. And then the devil comes in and strikes hard. Don't wait for the devil to strike before you look for protection. And sometimes, you know, God gives you pastors so that through them you can be protected. I pray for you every day. The last prayer before I go to bed, I mention you. I pray for you. Not only you, I pray for you. I pray for your children. I pray even for your children's children. And I pray for your relatives. I keep you in mind. Auntie Becky told me her sister had not been well. It had become my burden. I've been interceding. I've been praying. Tomorrow I'm going to be in the hospital. I'm going to lay hands on her. I'm going to pray. Because I feel obligated that you are my shepherd. You are my sheep. I'm your shepherd. I am obligated to ensure that you are protected. When I wake up in the morning, I never conclude my prayers by asking the Lord to protect your going out and your coming in. You remember? When Laban wanted to attack Jacob, he came back and told Jacob, last night I wanted to do you harm, but the God of your father appeared to me. You always need to connect to a spiritual father, because there are some battles, it's among fathers, not children. Then the next thing God taught me, number four, during my dormancy period, was pruning. At one point in my life, I started seeing people just leaving me. I was telling the Dowenya church this morning that one Sunday I came to church, I counted 320 people. Then the next Sunday I came to church, I counted 200. Within 1 week, 120 people. Hey, what is going on? Then one time in my prayer, the Lord came to me and said, you are about to hit your harvest. Some people don't deserve to share in the harvest. So I'm pruning them. I'm taking them off. You see, these are diseased branches. They must live your life. Sometimes God takes people out of your life. He will deliberately push people out of your life. Until Lot left Abraham, God never showed Abraham where he wanted to take him. When Lot left, God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes. Whatever you see, I will give you. There are people in your life that have become hindrances. I told you how mommy went to a funeral in the village. And I wanted to talk to her. Whilst I was talking to her, there were noise. She was like, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Hello, hello. I was getting very agitated. If you can't hear me, go to where you can hear me. So I ended the call. After a while, she called me. There was so much peace and calm. And where she called me from, I said, what happened? He said, oh, I left the people. There's too many people. There was the funeral and too many people. So I've come on a hill where there are no people. When we finished our conversation, the Lord said to me, you see how sometimes why you need to be away from people and be alone with me so there can be clarity of our communication. There will be clarity of communication. One problem you have, everybody is advising you. Everybody has become a consultant. Only God. It's only God you have not consulted. You are consulting everybody. You see, whatever you are going through, sometimes you need time. You need time to be alone with God and hear from Him. He will tell you, I'm pruning people. I'm taking people out of your life. People have become hindrances. I can't speak to you because of these people. And I'm taking them out of your life. John 15:1-2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So you see, your potential is better when God takes some people away from you. One woman called me from the U.S. and we're praying together. Was telling me about how her husband abandoned her and her son. For years, they've been alone. And she felt very bitter how the man treated her. And she felt so bitter. And she was telling me, and the bitterness in her voice. As she was talking, I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Just give me wisdom to speak back to this woman. The Lord said, tell her that I did not ask her how her son has turned out. She said, so how has your son turned out to be? He said, he's a wonderful boy. He's a God-fearing boy. He's serving the Lord. He's going to school. And he has become a nice boy. I'll send you his picture. You see how wonderful the boy has become. The Lord said, tell him that I tell her that I took the man out of the boy's life, not out of her life, so that the boy can know me. So I said to her, you went through a pruning session. Maybe when this boy grows up, I don't know, the man may come. But the Lord said, I should tell you, your son didn't need that man. He would not have said God. Then he said, yes, Bishop. It was as a result of that painful separation that actually made me a serious Christian and took me to church to now serve God. I used to work over weekends and don't go to church. I canceled all my weekend shifts and started going to church. I became a serious Christian and my son has caught up the spirit. I said, salvation and husband, which one do you want? Salvation for your son and husband, which one do you want? He said, I want salvation for my son. I said, clap for Jesus. We have concluded. Pruning is not an easy process. It can be very painful. When God has taken some people out of your life, it can be very, very, very painful. It can be very painful. But guess what? It takes you very far. There used to be a young lady in a fellowship I was in where I actually got born again, who became close to me and was actually catching my attention. I was a young man. He said, I'll go to church and I'm not focused. I'll go to church and my attention is divided. Just one day I said, no. I can't be in the church with that same lady. I joined a new church. I left the church where I was raised, a church where I got born again, a church where my umbilical cord was cut. Because God said, you have such a huge destiny. Olivia is waiting for you. I need to cut off every branch that is diseased. Like today, I will not be here with this testimony. Like today, I'll not be sharing these things I'm sharing with you. You know what I'm not afraid of? I am not afraid of losing people. Do you know why? Because God has taught me in my life that people that walk out of your life make room for God. Make room for the purpose of God. Stand firm. Don't be so disappointed. Don't be bitter against people who have left your life. God is making room for himself. God is making room for himself. He's pruning your life. You can't get worse. You can only get better. Can't get worse. You can only get better. Number six, the fifth thing God taught me. I'll close very soon so you can. The fifth thing God taught me, Luke 9 verse 62. The Lord said, you need to have purpose. You need to have purpose. You have to know, you have to stay focused. When you are waiting for your fruit, you have to stay focused. You have to stay focused. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. You can't look back. You can't look back. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. A group of young ladies used to come to our church from Lagos. Just with these ladies, prayerful ladies. In fact, one of them was so much prayerful. Just getting to the end of their studies in Lagos, she fell in love with a guy who was not committed to Jesus. And she was deeply in love. The friends have spoken to her, and she was so much in love. She still wanted the relationship. She wanted to convert the boy. She wanted the boy to accept her as her Lord, as his Lord and personal Savior, not Christ. All of you are trying to bring boys to church so that they can marry you. They are accepting you as their Lord and personal Savior, not Christ. You understand? So this lady was trying, bringing the boy to our miracle service then, bringing the boy to church service then, and their friends came to tell me that you have to talk to our friend, you have to talk to her, you know. Sometimes you see these things, don't even know what to say. It's so difficult when girls, especially when girls are in love, it's like they have lost their mind. You know, so I called her. We just sat down. I said, Holy Ghost, give me wisdom to speak to this lady. And I just made a statement. I just said to her, you have not come this far to look elsewhere. Stay focused, my dear. That was the only thing I said to her. The next Sunday she came to church and wanted to see me. He said, Daddy, that thing you said to me hits me like something. It pierced through my heart. The word of God is indeed a sword. It hit my heart. And when I left you that day, I just made up my mind. I have not come this far to look elsewhere. You have suffered too much. You have made this journey too much, brother. Don't let somebody distract you. You have not come this far to look elsewhere. You have not come this far to look elsewhere. There is something you have put so much in. Don't let somebody's success cause you to lose focus. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keeping on. Number six, Luke 26 verse 10. You know, six is please. Leviticus 26 verse 10. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. See, sometimes the reason why our harvest is not coming is because there is no room for the new harvest. You know, sometimes you come to a church like this and God is telling you, give me what you have. See, anytime you give God a seed, he gives you a harvest. Give God a seed, he gives you a harvest. You give God a seed, it gives you a harvest. Okay? And sometimes the reason why you don't see your harvest is because you are holding on to things that God wants you to let go. You are holding on to things. You are holding on to bitterness. You are holding on to grudges. You are holding on. God is saying, you are not making room for me to bring you the harvest. The harvest is ready. It's ready, but you are not making room for me. So God told me one point. God said to me, make room for me. I said, Lord, how am I going to make room for you? He said, let bitterness go. Let pains go. Let some people out of your life. I need time with you. The Lord told me, make room for me. Don't watch TV this time. Don't read this thing. God said, I need all those time. I need all those time. That was when I was a young pastor on this. That was when I started spending more hours with God on the Achimota Forest. Started going to retreat. I said, Lord, I'm letting go a lot of things and I'm making room for you. Whatever you are looking for, I'm making room for you. The story of a guy who rented a 10-bedroom house and gave Jesus one room in the house. And thieves came to the house that night and stole everything he has. They went and knocked at Jesus' door and said, Jesus, you told me you will protect me. But listen, thieves came here, they are stealing everything I bought. Jesus said, come to my room. Went to Jesus' room. Everything in Jesus' room was intact. He said, Jesus, why? He said, you gave me only one room. You gave me only one room. I cannot take over what you have not given to me. So, okay, I understand. Let me give you 5. So he gave Jesus 5. The next day, the thief came again. Guess what? The guy came back to Jesus and said, I've given you 5, and yet the thief came still. And he did not protect me. Jesus said, come. All the 5 rooms, they went there. Everything was intact. Jesus said, you gave me only 5. He said, okay, Jesus, I will give you 9. Jesus said, no problems. Give me the 9. The next day, the thieves came. He came to, I've given you 9. And here the thieves came. Jesus said, come to all the 9 rooms and see. They are all fine. He said, Jesus, what do I do? He said, give me everything. What do I become? Stay out of this matter. It's between me and Satan. Just stay out of it. It's between me and Satan. Oh. You are worrying yourself so much when you can say, Lord, take over. You are fighting so much about so many things when your prayer should say, Lord, I have given up. I have given up. I am a very beautiful woman. I bought all the Mary Kays and I bought all the lipsticks and I bought all the pawns. I do foundation. I do concrete. I do all those things. And yet, the boys are not proposing to me. The boys are not coming to me. Jesus, now take over. It's no longer my beauty. It's about you. Just take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Then finally, the Lord taught me something. The Lord taught me something. I think this scripture is Habakkuk. It's not, can you look for it? Pastor Kevin, look for it for me. Say, though the fig tree does not bear, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will be joyful in God my Savior. Wow. The Lord told me that, son, praise me in your farming, and I'll bring you harvest. Say, when there is nothing, don't complain. Don't murmur. Just learn how to praise me. Wednesday, I was telling the church how mommy and I, this song we used to sing. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? Where would I be? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. So change it in your notes. Habakkuk chapter 3. Can you guys change it there? Habakkuk 3:17. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? Where would I be? If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? Well, Maria, come here. Come. Remember Teshi? 2 young people, no food to eat, nothing, and hold ourselves like this, and we'll be singing. If it had not before the Lord on my side. Tell me, where would I be? Where would I be? And we can do this for hours. So we are finished praying. No food. We've been praying since dawn. No food. Be for. And then we'll sing this song. We'll sing it for hours. And then somebody will come and knock at our door. And that's just yams. Be for the Lord. Tell me, where would I be? Where would I be? Is another song? He turned all my enemies away. He let the sunshine through my cloudy days. Continue. And he rocked me in the cradles of his arms until when he knew I'd be better than scorn if it had not. And one and two, for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Oh, well, sister, your harvest is coming. Just don't lose your praise. Brother, your harvest is coming. Don't lose your praise. 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 Your harvest is coming. Your harvest is coming. Your harvest is coming. It took me 15 years to see my harvest, but I was still there. I didn't lose my praise. I don't know how many years this will last in your life, but don't lose your praise. For I think the praise should be the first. My side, tell me, where would I be? Yeah, where would I be? Wow. Thank you for joining me in the service. The Lord bless you. I sense that some harvest is about to be released. I sense that you are about to share your testimony. I sense in my spirit you are about to eat the fruit of your labor. I declare this upon you in Jesus' name. May the Lord help you to go through all these stages, and may he cause you to enjoy the fruit of your labor this month. It is well. Walk to three people, tell them, don't lose your praise.